What about the great saint Ramana Maharshi, who died of cancer? Well, oftentimes I'm asked about wonderful people who die of bad diseases. Now, once again, here's a perception. This question is rooted in an addiction to the reward and punishment system. If we track it and think, now what started this perception, and we pull, ultimately, you'll find, aha, at the root of that question is a belief that if you're good, there is no pain, and if they're bad, there is. It's an addiction to the reward and punishment system. Now, let me present another perception. Let's go back to the teacher Jesus, but we could use Buddha, but let's try Jesus out. Jesus, on his way to the crucifixion, was stopped by a man named Simon who said, "Do you want some help with that cross? You look like you're having a bad day." And Jesus didn't say, "Are you crazy? This is my karma. Get out of my way." He said, "Thank you very much for carrying this. I've had better days on earth. School, you're right, okay?" And Simon carried his cross for a while. Now, that is symbolically much more powerful than has ever been interpreted. Because what it's saying is, in our journey toward selfhood, we've got to become able to carry the burdens for others that they're not strong enough to do for themselves. And maybe sometimes the burden is a negativity. I did a reading on an exquisite human being, and I hope I see this person again, but I don't think I ever will. I was in London, and I was lecturing at a church, and he walked up. He had the face of someone who is blessed. It's the only way I can put it. And he said to me, "Would you answer a question for me? I'm very flattered by the quality of questions I get from most people, because I can't believe that they would think that I would know the answers to this. I'm even more impressed that something manages to come out of my mouth." This man said to me, "I'm a very good person. I don't understand how come I have so much difficulty with the authorities where I worked." He worked for British Telecom. He might still well work for British Telecom. I looked at him and I saw nothing but kindness. He oozed it. It was coming out of his auric field. And I closed my eyes and I said, "You know, you better give me an answer to this right now, because this man deserves an answer. Now show up." And I got this unbelievable impression that he was a strong kind of guardian angel in training, and that he was absorbing a lot of negativity, a lot of it racist. He was from India. And behind him were a lot of other Indians who were not strong enough to exist within that perception of racism, but he was. So he absorbed the blows for them. And I remember saying in my prayer, "If this doesn't fly, you're in trouble." So I said to this man, "Look, I don't know if this is going to help you, but this is the only impression I got." And I shared it with him. And he said to me, "Oh, I could live with that." And he left. I tell you, I met an angel that day. To me, I'll never forget that man. He gave me a gift of understanding something that will be with me for the rest of my life. I'll tell you something else that I believe, and that's that I notice a lot of people have allegiances to causes larger than themselves. Global peace, environmental projects, human rights, etc. I honestly now believe, especially when I do health readings on people, and this is the door through which I saw this, that part of the consequences of an allegiance to global human projects is that your seventh chakra or computer is accessed like a data bank, and that sometimes what happens is that when there's a buildup of negativity on the planet as a way of preventing a malignancy, a planetary malignancy from happening larger than it could or should or would, like a real serious nuclear accident, that negativity is distributed to everybody who has plugged in a circuit of their energy and says, "I will use my soul to support that vision." And the consequence is when this negativity needs to be discharged, those who are plugged into this vision get a unit of the negativity to process through their own soul and their own body. Sometimes I've done readings where I've said, this isn't your negativity that has made you sick. Can you carry this? Oh, yeah, I can do that. That's what it is. And with that perception, it's as if it's blessed and it becomes a privilege to carry that negativity. And with that in mind, let me say that one of the reasons why I say to everybody, diagnose yourselves. I teach a week-long training program on self-diagnosis so that you learn to tell the difference between are you carrying your negativity or is it some, are you doing this as a privilege for the planet and as a consequence of your learning the responsibility of becoming an impersonal soul in the language of Buddha. Let me close with a wonderful story on this woman who healed. I think this is just the jewel of a story. This woman showed up at a workshop. This was one of Norm Shealy's favorite stories because it was his patient. And it more than anything illustrates why people heal or why they don't. Norm was doing a workshop. It was a week long, and it was on depression and forgiveness. This woman arrived malignant everywhere, and she was actually carried in to the clinic on a stretcher. She should have gone to a hospice. But anyway, she came to this workshop, and she was in so much pain that she had to have pillows around her, and she was in excruciating pain. In the middle of the week, Norm was doing a visualization on forgiveness. And at the end of the visualization, she did not come out of it, and he thought she was dead. So he went to her, took her pulse. She was still alive, but she was in such a deep state that he just sat with her, as did everyone else. And when she came out of it, she opened her eyes, looked around the room, sat up, got up, walked out of the clinic, said, thank you very much, got in a cab, went to the airport, and went home to Los Angeles. Right. 6 months later, Norm was going to Los Angeles to give a talk, and she picked him up at the airport, and she was fully healed. Do you understand? This woman was minutes from death. She was fully healed. He said, you must tell me what happened. And she said, yeah, here it is. My husband started to cheat on me on our wedding day with a bridesmaid. Now, I'm going to use my language and hers woven in. In her language, she overlooked it. In my language, she began the violation of the negotiation of her spirit. As the years went by, she continued to violate her spirit. Only now, she had an excuse to make the violation permittable. She had two children. I will stay with him. For the sake of the children. Now, my emphasis here is so long as she had a legitimate excuse, here is the point you must understand, an excuse she could respect, the denial did not have the toxicity as if she had given herself an excuse that she didn't respect. Pretty soon the boys grew up, and up came the Vietnam War. Now, all this time, this man she's married to is still cheating on her. So she's warehousing her resentments, but she has this legitimate excuse that's like a homeopathic remedy that helps discharge the potency of the negativity. Now she tells herself, I can't possibly leave this man while the boys are in Vietnam. I can't tell the boys I've left their father while they're there because, my God, maybe they would be so upset they would be shot. But now the boys come home from Vietnam, and not only do they come home alive and in one piece, they're adults. They're gone. She has no excuse she can respect anymore. And out comes the warehouse of the toxicity with its hands on its hips that says, your physiology is mine now. And instantaneously ravaged her body with cancer. In this visualization on forgiveness, she called her soul back with dignity and power, and she forgave him all of his behavioral patterns because what she realized, not in her head, but in her head, and in her will and in her heart and in her gut simultaneously was that that man would have cheated on anybody he had been married to. It had nothing to do with her. She understood it, not here, not intellectually, which won't get you out of anything but the bathroom, but she understood it in every single circuit of her being. So she said, not only do I know it's your problem, but I want to tell you something. I don't care. I love you, and I'm choosing to stay with you. I don't owe anybody an explanation as to why I'm with this man. I'm with this man because I want to, and I am pulling my circuits back from the need for anybody's approval, disapproval, or my needing to have to explain my behavior to anybody. I am calling my spirit home now. And instantaneously, she forgave him, felt empowered, was completely liberated, and her body recharged every single inch of itself in present time with a complete and total full-scale act of forgiveness. Now that was a class act. Thank you.
This concludes Why People Don't Heal with Carolyn Mace. If you would like additional copies of this audio learning program or to receive a complete catalog of transformational audio and video tapes, please call Sounds True, 800-333-9185, or write the Sounds True catalog, P.O. Box 8010, Boulder, Colorado, 80306. You may also visit us on the World Wide Web, www.soundstrue.com. Thank you for listening.